Hey everyone, Victor Perolnik here, still in Dubrovnik, Croatia for MicroConf, and I want to answer another question, which is, Victor, in terms of tech, what does an investor, or really, more importantly, a buyer, pay attention to? I don't want to leave money on the table. I want to make sure I'm prepared for a good exit, to get through a tech due diligence, and, you know, just know what I'm getting into and how to shine. The first answer is probably going to be investors. It really depends. Early stage, obviously nobody cares. It's more about the team and things like that. And there's very mixed reports of who even does any sort of tech due diligence. When they're an investor, obviously depends on the round and whatnot. The more important thing here, or where it really matters, is when you're trying to sell your business. An investor wants to clarify three main things. And you want to make sure that, number one, you're not going to run into any deal breakers, potentially, or roadblocks. And number two, that you get the highest possible valuation, right? And so let's dive into that. And let's make sure that you're ready to exit. So number one that a buyer is going to look at is asset ownership. This is the deal breaker type. And of those, obviously, you gotta own the code base. There's enough people who don't do that, right? So you gotta own your code base. You gotta own your infrastructure. You gotta own all the accounts. You gotta have the accesses to that. Whoever, you know, if you're working with remote developers, software houses, whatever, that's all cool. There's no problem with that when you're exiting at all. Just make sure that you own stuff, you know how stuff works, and that everything is clearly documented. All the tools and services that you're using, you need to have those access there. And most importantly, your domain and the DNS, right? Don't give access to anyone for that. But the most important part in terms of asset ownership is one that's very often overlooked, and it's more of an illegal nature, which is the IP rights. And that's where you can easily get into trouble, because if your IP rights, now bear in mind, I'm not an attorney, not a legal advisor. We've done a video just on this topic with a SaaS lawyer, so we'll link it up right here. But, you know, if you either can prove that the IP rights are being transferred, have been transferred from various types of contractors, say software houses, whatnot, or it is not easily verifiable, then you're in big trouble, because if you're a SaaS, the IP is everything, right? Obviously, there's a customer base, there's the brand and everything. But, you know, in terms of your tech, of the software product, the ultimate product of this is not the code, it's the intellectual property, right? Because if you don't own that, somebody can come after you for a share of your revenue, and you don't want to make that happen. So, again, crucial point. I've seen people run around like headless chicken trying to sign one-pagers with developers they haven't talked to in years. You definitely don't want to be in that situation. So make sure from day one, every single piece of your code that's in your app, the IP of that is transferred to you. Now, again, if you need help with that, we can recommend Omid, and we have a video with Omid linked up here. The second big block is your code quality. And so obviously a buyer is going to look at the technical debt, yeah, the coding standards, and all of this, because ultimately they're trying to understand how much do I have to put in to be able to scale, right? Buyers rarely want to maintain a business. They see an opportunity to 10x this, right? For example, or to integrate this into their offering or whatever that might be. And if they want to keep the product, which probably most of them do, then the technical debt is in the category of, well, how much work do I need to put in? You know, how much do I need to fix this up to make it usable for my case, right? Even if it works fine right now, can I 10x it, right? What happens if I throw users at it? So that is a thing that they're going to take a look at. But the other thing that you shouldn't neglect is they're going to evaluate your tech choices. And most importantly, what they're going to try to understand is, how easy is it to get developers for this? And there's a lot of points that fall under this. So if you're using some sort of old technology that, if you're the only developer of this thing, you're the founder, you're the dev, it's been running fine, it might be scalable as hell, but it's a niche technology or an old technology or a not maintained technology, well, then that's a big problem because they'll now have to find new developers for this, a tech lead for this, all of that. They want to institutionalize it. And so if you're using an unpopular, not open source stack that's not really maintained, doesn't have a big community, doesn't have a lot of libraries, whatnot, then it's going to be an issue in your evaluation. That's also something that you should take a look at fairly early to make sure that you don't create problems for yourself later on. I mean, there are a lot of very popular technologies that are great to use and they're not any burden. You know, it's actually better for you if you use them than any sort of niche technology, because even if you want to hire developers, build a team, whatnot, all of that is just important to you as it is for a potential buyer. So, tech choices. Then we're going to take a look at security. And so now it depends a bit who the buyer is. Same as for compliance. If you're in GovTech and you're looking at an acquisition from somebody who's in GovTech or who needs to meet any other compliance standards, whatever they're integrating will have to sort of meet them too, right? So this just adds to the cost of, well, how much do we need to change, update, fix in order to for this to meet our standards? But on a very basic level, I would say in terms of security, if you use senior developers and you use a framework that's up to date, commonly used, open source, then you're getting rid of most of the security questions, especially if it's hosted on, you know, if you're not taking care of the infrastructure yourself, right? If this is an AWS, even better if it's completely serverless, then you don't really need to worry about security too much. That's like the 80-20 rule right there. Obviously, if you're in certain industries and at a certain size, you definitely need to take a look at that deeper. And another interesting thing is going to be scaling costs. I've put that here in the code quality category because it does get influenced by that. So what do I mean? Scaling costs is, what if I put 10x more users on it? What's going to happen? Is your app data intensive? Is this going to fill up my database? Is there going to be a non-linear cost issue on the infrastructure? Are there calculations happening? Do I need extremely, you know, computationally hungry procedures or anything? Or data storage, right? Do people upload or host video on the platform? That's like the worst case. Think about a Vimeo where I pay, let's say, 10 bucks a month, but it's not like I can host whatever, a terabyte of videos on there forever. It's like I get another, I don't remember what it is, but 10 gigs a month on top of that, but they accumulate, right? So if I actually use my plan, I'm going to be storing 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 gigabytes and on and on, right? Forever. So even though I keep paying 10 bucks a month, they need to pay for storage for more and more and more videos. Same for YouTube. Obviously, they're not blind to this and they have this figured out financially because most people won't be using that much and whatnot. And so you're cross-financing. But in general, you need to understand if there are any accumulating costs or scaling costs or anything like that, because a buyer will be very interested in those costs as well. And the third point is all sorts of dependencies. Those might be human. So how much do you as the founder do, and what roles are leaving the company if you were to leave? We need to replace those. How much does that cost? Do you work with any external service providers, right? If you work with a software house, I did mention that it's generally not a problem, but it is a factor to consider. It's probably not going to happen that your entire development team, every single person, is going to walk out on you after you get acquired. But what if a software house cancels their contract? Then the entire dev team is gone, right? It's a single point of failure. It just is. So that is a point of consideration. But also, and a lot of people tend to forget about that, it's about reliance on third-party services, so ecosystems. So for example, you're an app that's purely based on ChatGPT, an OpenAI API. Then whatever happens to that API, or however the costs of that are, or develop, or whatever they decide to do in-house, might change the viability of your entire business. So these are usually great strategies to get started, get some customers in, and then try to develop something proprietary on top of that. But if you're completely based on a different service or ecosystem, that will come at a cost, or at least impact your valuation. Same, of course, if you're a plugin business, you only sell into a certain marketplace, if you're an app for something, that always comes with that sort of platform risk. So I hope I helped you think about those today. If you want to go through a bit of a mock tech audit and see what you can improve or where you are with that, well, we'd love to do that for you with one of our fractional CTOs. What we do at TrustSharing is we help founders build and run productive SaaS development teams by headhunting developers, recruiting developers, but also we provide fractional CTOs and CPOs to help at the strategic level to guide through important technical or product decisions, such as, am I ready to get acquired? Likewise, if you're trying to buy an app and would like to do a bit of due diligence, we're happy to help with that as well. If you're interested, feel free to schedule a call. It's in the link in the description. And yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Have a good one.